Well, good morning, everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. I hope that you have had a blessed week leading up to today. Please let me know if you're with us by giving us a thumbs up saying I'm here and all that. So make sure we are connected here this morning and you can hear me well. If you can hear me, again, give me a thumbs up and say I'm here. I can hear you. This little device right here is something new here today, so that way you can hear me more present and it's not echoey, and also it's just a clearer, you know, sort of thing going on. All right, very good. So you can hear me. All right, so this is not some earring that I got going. It's a little microphone device and a hearing thing. So we're good, right? All right. Hey, so. Again, I hope you've had a good week this week. This is our sixth week in, I think, six or seven. I'm losing count in doing this live from our homes. You know, with the governor making a decision this past Monday to extend this out, the stay-at-home order a couple more weeks at least. And we see some of the things starting to open up in the nation. The governor of South Carolina is starting to make some decisions about opening up restaurants if they have outdoor dining and some of the things like that. But we're still trying to keep everybody safe and all that. I'll make this announcement at the end of our time together, but I want you to mark your calendars for those that are on time here today that we're going to start our first corporate gathering on May the 31st. It's Pentecost Sunday, but we're going to do drive-in services on that day. And so we have it all worked out. I'll give you the details of it as we get closer to it, but you'll be coming in and we'll direct the traffic to face the pavilion. We've got an FM frequency set up for you guys so you can stay in your cars and listen to it in the comfort of and safety of your cars. Maybe, you know, leave the air conditioner on if it's too warm. You can roll down your windows. Stuff like that. It'll be a little bit abbreviated service, but we'll be under the pavilion, me and a few other people, and we'll have service from there, and it's going to be great. So looking forward to that. So mark your calendar for that, Pentecost Sunday, May the 31st. So we'll do this format a few more times, then we'll add to it Facebook. We'll keep Facebook Live on May the 31st, but we'll also do a drive-in service for those that just they just need to get out. I think it's really important for us to get into the habit of coming to church as well, and we'll still keep the social distancing going on for a while because our ultimate goal is the protection and the safety of our congregation. Hey, I saw, I was talking to someone this week that saw on a bumper sticker on the back of their car, it says this phrase, "Are you this close to Christ?" I thought that was pretty funny when he was sharing that with me because obviously it's for people that are tailgating. So if you tailgate and you read something like that, maybe you are too close. If you can read this bumper sticker, you're too close. But I wonder, are we that close to Christ? Are we as close to Jesus? And I hope that maybe through this time that you've drawn closer to Jesus through this interesting, challenging time that we're living in. That we have gotten closer to Christ. I want to talk this morning about this. We're continuing with our end time survival guide. I've changed it to our end time survival guide. Survival is not some guy, one of the Knights of the Round Table. He's not one of the Musketeers. Survival. It's a rewording of survival. So I feel like that we do more than just survive. We're here to thrive during any challenges in our life. And all of us are going through this together, but I believe firmly that we're right towards the end of the end times of what's been discussed in the Bible and prophesied that Jesus is coming back for his church. I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, but I want to continue with our survival guide as to what we need to do in these last of the last days before Jesus return. And this one is going to be a little bit ironic or almost not really contradictory, but how do you apply what God's Word says in this particular thing that we'll be looking at this morning in light of the orders from the government that we need to keep 6 feet apart? So the title of this message this morning is Staying Connected While 6 Feet Apart. I want to read to you a scripture, and if you're taking notes, if you have something that you're writing with, this is what you need to write down first. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, a very familiar scripture that I believe that we all agree with. And I want to unpack it here this morning. It says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, and not giving up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Would you bow your heads in prayer and let's ask the Lord to bless His Word today. Father, as we have read Your Word now, we may pray that it would be more than just words on a page, but that it would be a rhema word, a now word. Make it come alive to us this morning as we are doing life together, as we're gathering around the campfire of Your Word and warming up to its glow. May it warm our hearts and may we be able to understand it and apply it, walk it out. Holy Spirit, we just invite You into this time here today to make Your Word come alive and relevant to our lives. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in such an interesting time in the history of the world. What's playing out before us has really never happened in our lifetime and probably most lifetimes. I think the thing that we can probably compare it to the soonest or the latest thing that has happened is the Spanish flu back in 1918. But this is unique to itself in that the economies are shutting down. Whole nations are shutting down. They're quarantining themselves. I'm getting emails and communications from different missionaries that we support, and they're talking about how they have, they have curfews, and if they're out beyond a certain time, they're going to get in trouble. They're going to get either put in jail or get some fines going on. And we even see stuff like that happening in our nation, but it's even more strict in other parts of the world than even the United States. And we're seeing not just the United States economy, but worldwide, the economies are just really being rocked, just devastated. Millions are being infected across the world. Tens of thousands are dying from this awful virus that they're still trying to find a cure for. And one of the things that's impacted us beyond work and everything that I just described is that we're not able to come together in a church building. As I said weeks ago, the church is not a building, it's a people. But we've ceased meeting in buildings. All of our services have gone online, just like what we're doing right now. I've spoken with a lot of people from our church who say they actually are kind of enjoying this, that they can just come in their PJs, their sweatpants, a cup of coffee, hanging out, gathering around their living rooms and viewing this. While at the same time, those same people are saying we do miss coming together and we miss seeing the folks face to face and hugging their necks and all of that. There's just something about coming together, but we also understand that there's dangers involved in doing this now and the need to support and obey the mandates of our governing officials saying that we need to keep ourselves socially distant so we can flatten this curve. I just heard on the news this morning that the 30th of April and May the 1st were the worst days for for deaths in this country. It's just really peaking. So we're really still kind of in the middle of this thing. And so we need to flatten the curve and we need to get these infections down. And everyone that I've spoken with understands and appreciates and supports us keeping our congregation safe. But as a result of all that's going on, it's never been more important to make a good connection than it is today. I think it's interesting that the internet and social media, thank God for it, because it's been our lifeline for our nation in these last several weeks as we've all been told to shelter in place. But the irony of that is that in our text today, it's saying one thing, but the reality of where we are is another in the social distancing. So even though we're called in God's Word to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, we also are seeing, as the day of Jesus approaches, we're also seeing that we can't do that right now. So how do we reconcile this verse with the reality of where we are? And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. I want to just lay the premise by saying that God has designed us and created us for relationship. First, to Him. He made you individually so that He could have relationship with you. Now, whether you are pursuing that with Him or not is your choice. But He's always pursuing a relationship with you. He wants to have relationship with you. He made you because He wanted someone just like you to have a relationship with, and He saw that that person didn't exist, and so He made you. And He says, I want to have a relationship with you. But beyond that, He's also designed us to have a relationship with one another. And he created the church to have that spiritual relationship with God and one another so that we can grow in relationship not only with him but also with one another. You know, church is not some optional outskirt part of God's plan for us to grow in our walk with the Lord. It's an essential part instead of our walk with Christ. We must come together as the church, as the body of Christ. Once we accept Jesus into our hearts as Lord and Savior, much of our growth comes from the connections that we have with fellow believers, through our interactions, through our accountability in spiritual community. God knows that regular interaction with God's people is essential to our growth and survival. Isolation isn't God's will for us. In fact, isolation is dangerous and it's deadly. You know, Jesus has called us out from the world, but when you call someone out from, that means you're going into. So coming out from the world means that we're coming into what? The church. We're coming into the body of believers where we can encourage one another and grow in our relationship with the Lord. And I understand that it's easier and less demanding to not engage with fellow believers. There's something about ironing, sharpening iron that implies that there's some sort of pain that goes on in the process of that. And we don't like pain, so sometimes it's easier for us to just say, you know what, it's easy for me to just kind of stay isolated. But we must, it's essential to stay connected, especially in these uncertain times like what we're going through. So with that in mind, let's see how we can apply this mandate, this call to persevere, found in Hebrews in our text this morning, to our new normal and continue growing together in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're taking notes, here's the first thing that I want you to write down after you wrote down the scripture, and that's this. First, we must prioritize our connection. Our text here says this morning that we must gather all the more as you see the day approaching. And the day is that return of Jesus Christ when he comes and catches up his bride in the rapture. It's imperative that we meaningfully connect in community as Jesus' return approaches. You know, you just look around today and we see that the world that we're living in is on fire. From the Middle East to Israel, from North Korea to Russia, from the coronavirus to earthquakes, from floods to droughts, from economic upheavals to social unrest, even those that have a superficial knowledge of end times prophecy, you're hearing more and more, they're realizing, and all of us are realizing, that this world is nearing its end. It's coming up on its expiration date. You can just feel it. You can sense it. Many signs are aligning in that exponential curve that we talked about a year or so ago. I preached a series about that. If you want to go back to our website, you can go back and look in the archives and see where every chart that you see, whether it's economic, whether it's natural disasters, whether it's the morality of the things in the world, no matter what it is, every chart, the exponential curve is going straight up. It's not that way anymore. It's not barely going up. It's going straight up. Every chart, every conceivable chart, it's spiking upwards, pointing us to the reality that Jesus is coming soon. And even though we don't know the day or the hour, the Bible says that, we can certainly discern the seasons, and we're to look with an attitude of expectancy concerning his coming. Folks, this should energize us with a renewed sense of urgency to be about the Lord's business. And a key aspect of being in that business is to stay connected with one another through fellowship in the local church. You know, we should be prioritizing church more. We should actually, and when we're able to come back together again physically, we should be gathering more, not less. We should be prioritizing it more as we see the day approaching. And what we're doing right now, at this very moment, you're doing that. You're prioritizing. You're saying, 10:30 Sunday mornings, I'm getting around the Facebook Live with my family, and I'm going to come together with those of like faith, with my body of believers at Faith Assembly, and I'm going to do life together. I'm so proud of you all. We need to keep doing that. Also, we have our Life Together groups that are meeting in our Zoom gatherings. I hope that you're continuing to do that. If you're not and you want to be part of that, let us know. Call us at the church, post it online right now, send us an email, some way communicate with us and let us know that you want to be part of a Zoom group. We'll get you set up. You don't need to figure it out. We'll help you figure it out and walk you through the steps. It's not that hard. The youth in the Crossroads are meeting as well online. They've continued to connect, having a great time. We're actually seeing people meet from all over the United States on this broadcast and also in our Zoom meetings and other things that we do. You know, this time of social distancing has given a lot of us time to reflect upon and reevaluate what's important in our lives. I know that you've seen across the nation right now, people are getting antsy, and they're wanting to open up the economy. They're wanting to open up the different places to gather, the parks and the beaches and what have you. And you're seeing people kind of starting to push back and rebel against the government. It's because people know that there's something inherently important for us to come together socially. We've got to get together. We've been designed to have fellowship and relationship with another, to connect. So I hope as part of what we've seen and how important church is, as part of what we've seen in all this, is how important church attendance is and how important fellowship actually is. I think it's really interesting, and I think you would agree with me, that we don't really understand at times what things that we really miss sometimes until it's taken away. Would you agree with me? Well, here's the second thing I want us to look at as far as how we can stay connected while 6 feet apart, that we must cherish our connection. Write that down. Cherish our connection. So we prioritize our connection, now we cherish our connection. Our text says, let us not give up meeting together. I was watching a movie this past week entitled Unbroken. It's a story about a man back in the 1930s named Louis Zamperelli. He was an Olympic runner in 1936, actually in the Berlin Olympic Games, Berlin, Germany, where Hitler was in charge at that time. And he was in the military, I believe he was in the Navy, and he was going out on a particular reconnaissance mission with his comrades, and the plane lost power and landed in the ocean, and he and two other guys survived, and they survived, really two of them survived for 47 days on a life raft. It's unbelievable how they survived. You can watch the movie, but they were ultimately captured by the Japanese as they were floating on the ocean. Here comes a ship, and it was Japanese. They imprisoned them in World War II, a Japanese prison war camp, an awful, awful situation that this man was in. Once they found that he was an Olympic hero, they singled him out to beat him, to starve him, to abuse him. He was treated like less than a dog. And through that whole process, finally when he was released at the end of the war and all the prisoners of war were released from Japan, the first thing that he did when he got off that airplane was he kissed the ground of the United States of America. You know, he appreciated his freedom infinitely more than before because he realized how precious and valuable that his freedom really was. And I hope that when we have the opportunity to gather again, that I hope that you and I will cherish and understand the gift of church attendance and involvement as never before as we see the return of Christ getting closer. I don't know, maybe our first Sunday back will look something like this. I'm going to say this tongue-in-cheek, but we can title it No Excuses Sunday. And we're going to make it possible for everyone to attend church. How about this? We're going to put cots out in the foyer for those who say, Sunday is my only day to sleep in. How about we're going to have steel helmets available for those who say that the roof's going to cave in if I ever go to church? How about blankets? We can furnish blankets for those who think that the church is too cold, and we also can furnish fans for those who think that the church is too hot. We're going to have hearing aids for those who think the pastor speaks too softly, and we can have cotton balls for those who think that he speaks too loudly. Scorecards are going to be available for those that would want to come who wish to list all the hypocrites that are present that day. Some relatives will be in attendance that day for those who would like to go visiting on Sundays. Also, there's going to be TV dinners for those who can't go to church and also cook dinner as well. One section is going to be devoted to the trees and to grass for those who like to see God in nature. And finally, the sanctuary will be decorated with both Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies for those who've never seen the church without them. Of course, it's a joke. I hope maybe you've laughed at that. It's kind of hard to tell if you're laughing or not. If you're laughing, give me a ha-ha. Even a little courtesy laugh would be fine. But I can truly imagine that our first day back will be a day of rejoicing, where we're going to kiss the ground, figuratively speaking, in thanks for the privilege of gathering together to worship Jesus in this great country of ours. Here's the third thing, really, that I want to get to in our text this morning, is that we must encourage our connection. You know, regular church attendance, as far as the Bible is concerned, isn't an option, but it's a command. when it comes to church, assembly is definitely required. And I think that's why we're called an Assembly of God church, because we're an assembly of God's people, and assembly is required when it comes to church. You know, our text calls on us believers to spur one another toward love and good deeds, and to encourage one another as we see the day approaching. You know, in troubling times, we need encouragement. We need to encourage one another to read God's word, to pray, to love one another, to sacrifice, to share, to witness, and to turn from sin. You know, seeing you all right now as you're posting, and I hope you're posting kind things and encouraging things, but just to know that you're there and you're posting things, it's an encouragement to me. Whenever we come together on Sunday mornings and I see you folks come in from all your different places as we've been able to gather together, such an encouragement. And I hope that when we're able to gather together again, I know that it's going to be an encouragement to all of us as we share our life together in corporate worship to our Lord and Savior. But until then, let's continue with our virtual prayer groups, our life together groups, and our personal connections with each other throughout the week. I can't tell you how many folks I've spoken with that have told me several times that this beautiful church body that we have, that they've reached out to one another on a phone call just to check up on one another. And so we've been staying connected. We've been encouraging one another. That's been so encouraging to me for sure. So just please, just keep it up. Just keep reaching out to the folks from the church that you know as the Lord puts them on your heart. Doing so keeps us protected from the enemy of our souls, who would love to isolate us, making us exposed and alone and vulnerable to attack and ruin. In fact, I'd like to give you some homework this week. Okay, here's some homework for each of you as you're continuing to stay isolated in your homes. Won't you, if you haven't yet, and even if you have, all of us, contact one person this week, just one person, just to see how they're doing. Give them a phone call, maybe through social media, text them, send them a little post. Maybe you can text them, even an old-fashioned handwritten card that you can put in the mail, just to see how they're doing. Just to say, I've been thinking about you. I've been praying for you. Just want to see how you are. I love you. Be encouraged. Just do something to connect with someone this week. You know, there's a story of a 7-year-old girl who got lost in a big city. And a police officer saw her walking down the sidewalk and offered to help her by driving around to see if anything looked familiar to her. And so as he was driving around, suddenly she said, stop, stop. She pointed to the church, to a church, and she said, can you let me out right here? That's my church. She assured him, she said, this is my church, and I can always find my way home from here. You know, as the world darkens and things grow more uncertain by the day, there's never been a greater need for people to find their way back home. And the church is a great start. It's a great starting point for people to find their way to Christ and grow in relationship with Him in the safety and strength of a body of encouraging believers. You know, the church was the pattern of staying connected in the New Testament. Just read Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47 and beyond. And you'll see that church that was there in the Old New Testament is still the church of today. The church is more than just a social gathering. It's a place where it's a soul strengthening, iron sharpening, heart cleansing, attitude adjusting, Holy Spirit empowering, life-changing gathering of believers whose central focus is to bring glory to God and for God to bring strength to His people, so that we might then go out from our gatherings and share this unbelievable good news with everyone everywhere, which leads me to our fourth and final point this morning, and that is in our text. It says that as we are connecting with one another, we're also called to connect others as we are connected. Our text says that we must spur one another on to love and good deeds. As I said earlier, we've been called out of the world into the church, but then we've also been called back into the world to connect others to Jesus. Out from the world, into the church, grow in relationship with the Lord, go back into the world and do the same thing with others and bring them into the church. And that's where the cycle ends. And the process continues. You know, there's a hurting world out there. In this pandemic, many, many are troubled, living in fear, loneliness. They've lost their jobs. They've lost their loved ones to this virus. They're struggling emotionally and mentally as they're consumed with the steady diet of the bleak news being fed to them. What an opportunity to share the hope that you have in Christ Jesus, that I have in Christ Jesus. Just because we're told to stay 6 feet apart and stay quarantined in our homes doesn't mean that we've been released from the command to go and preach the gospel, to share the good news to everyone, everywhere. So what good deed can be done in the name of Jesus in your circle of influence this week? Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's going to the store or to the pharmacy where you can pick up something for a frightened neighbor who doesn't want to get out. Maybe they're elderly. Maybe it's sending a note of encouragement to a first responder that you may know. Just encourage them and say, keep up the good work. The nurses, the police officers, all those people. Maybe it's dropping off a simple care package to someone who's alone in their home and needs a friend. Maybe it's just a phone call to say hello and let the Holy Spirit take it from there. How can you share the love of Jesus with those around you that are struggling? If you're not sure how to start, use the example that I shared a few weeks back. Compare the coronavirus to sin. Both of these things are unseen. The coronavirus and sin are both unseen, but we can see the results of both of them. Both are deadly. Both are awful, but sin more so. The story writes itself from there because it's something everyone can relate to, because everyone is dealing with it, no matter who they are. Because everything is connected to a soul in everything that we do. Even this coronavirus is connected to a soul. So ask the Holy Spirit how you can take this assignment of you sharing the gospel and make it unique to your circle of influence. And I can't close out today by saying how this text is really pointing us to the reminder that Jesus is coming soon. You want to hear a future headline in worldwide newspapers? It goes like this. It's found in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 18. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. You know, the world's going to say that what that rapture, when the rapture takes place, they're going to say some UFOs came down, some aliens snatched us up, or some other crazy thing like that. But we know it's going to be Jesus catching us up. The day, that day, is fast approaching. So let's prioritize staying connected. Let's cherish our connection. Let's encourage one another to stay connected. And let's connect others as we're connected as we go along. The chapter in Hebrews that we just read says it this way, and I end it with this. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you'll receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Folks, Jesus is coming very, very soon. He's right at the door, so don't shrink back. The trumpet of Jesus is about to blow. God is getting ready to make the command for Jesus to come get his bride, the church. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'd like to connect you to Jesus today. If you're not connected, I want you to bow your heads in prayer and just say this prayer with me. Would you? Bow your heads right now. Say, Jesus, I want to get connected to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come live in my heart and be Lord of my life. Won't you help me to connect to the body of Christ here at Faith Assembly and with you, Lord God, on a daily basis? May I grow in relationship with you. I thank you now that I'm saved, that you've washed me clean from my sins. I'm a new creation and restored back to right relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And I pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, let's rejoice in the Lord today. And let's be encouraged to stay connected. Let me give you a few quick announcements as we close out today. As I said earlier, the governor has extended the stay-at-home order for a couple more weeks. I want you to mark your calendar for May the 31st, Pentecost Sunday, because that's where we're going to have our first drive-in services. We're going to keep going with this for the next several weeks with Facebook Live until May the 31st. And I'll give you more instruction as we get closer to it, but begin to spread the word. And we'll start at 10:30 on May the 31st with a drive-in service. Hey, Mother's Day is next Sunday. I want you to do something for me. Now, I want you to record a video, and I want you to just, on your phone, if you have on your iPhone, it's really easy to record a little video, and hold up a picture of your mama and say, this is my mother, and then say her name. This is my mother, and then say her name. This is my mother, say her name. Just like that. And then just send it to us, and Pastor Joseph is going to compile a video, and we're going to present that next week on our Facebook Live page in honor of Mother's Day. Since we can't meet together physically, we're going to honor our mothers virtually on the Facebook page. Don't forget to stay connected with the Zoom groups, as I mentioned, for youth, children, life together groups throughout the week. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your continued support financially through your tithes and offerings. God is continuing to bless, and we pray that God will continue to bless you as well. Thank you also for just your continued encouragement. Listen, post your prayer request. Let us know what's going on. We're here for you. We love you. We're praying for you. Pastor Joseph has posted a link to a song that I want you to listen to entitled More Than You'll Ever Know. And it's a song that talks about how we stay connected and we encourage one another through that. We'll see you next Sunday right here on Facebook Live at 10:30. God bless you. Let us know if you need anything. And until then, have a blessed day.